open the Word of God before you if you have an opportunity to do so. If not, just listen in, and we're going to first look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you. Thank you for this wonderful day once again. As those that know you as your our Father, and we're your children, can rejoice in every day and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word once again. We pray for your guidance in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 18. Well, as we have been considering the portion verses 1 to 11, we have seen the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's leading ever so close to the cross of Calvary. And we have examined what went on in the garden when he went out to pray. His disciples were heavy with sleep, and the Lord went three times to pray. And we have considered the necessity to have a time and a place to be alone with the Lord. We also considered how this one, Judas, would come with a band of men and would betray the Lord here in this Garden of Gethsemane. And yet now we see in verses 10 and 11, we see Simon Peter, and we see Peter's zeal in the garden. Now, let's consider as we read verses 10 and 11 of John 18. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So as we see here, we see Peter in his zeal, looking to defend the Lord, cuts off a man's ear. You know, back in John 13, in the upper room ministry, when the Lord told Peter that he would deny him, he said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We'll see that coming up here in just a few verses on in John 18, that he would deny the Lord. But thankfully, we see the Lord restoring Peter. If you go on to the last chapter of John, in chapter 21, a wonderful story of the Lord and Peter as they meet after the resurrected Lord appears to the disciples, and we see his challenge to Peter. So as we consider today this one Peter and his zeal, a man that represents you and I so well, we that are believers, how often do we see Peter in our lives? We see someone who may have zeal, but maybe runs ahead of, because of our zeal, we might run ahead of what is honoring to the Lord. And yet we see how this one, the Lord Jesus, would use Peter after he had returned to glory. The Lord had sent the Comforter. We see that once the church age had begun, and Peter, along with all the true believers, would have the Spirit of God indwelling in, and Peter would be used in a mighty way. We see how he would be a mighty preacher, and the record of 1st and 2nd Peter recorded in the Word of God by inspiration of God. We see some wonderful things that Peter spoke of that you can remember and tie into the things that happened to him as he walked with the Lord during the Lord's earthly ministry. So it's really interesting to study out the life of this man, Peter. But now, while the Lord is on the earth, we see this zeal of Peter. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he picks up this sword and cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. And what an opportunity, by the way, for this man Malchus to be saved. He noticed he must have been one of the men that fell back, this band of men, as we looked at in earlier verses, that when they asked for Jesus of Nazareth, he said, "I am he," and they fell back to the ground. Here, now, Malchus has his ear cut off, and the Lord, we turn to other gospels, we see how he puts his ear back on. This man, Malchus, is much and more than the rest of that band of men, had an opportunity to yield to Christ, to see the very power of God, to see that he truly was who he claimed to be. Now today we don't need miracles to prove the Word of God, but we have the completed Word of God. We see the prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ as he came to fulfill the law, and how he fulfilled many messianic prophecies from the Old Testament once he was there in and around the time of the cross. We have the completed Word of God. But in that day we see that as Christ came, was dwelling here on the earth, these miracles were one way of proving who he was. You know, at the end of the book of John, what a way it closes out. John says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. The closing words of this book of John. So here we see a sample, if you will, of the power of God. We see the band of men falling back whenever he said, "I am." And we see how Malchus has his ear cut off and put back on. So think of this man Malchus, if he were to go on, whatever happened to him, eternity will tell. The Lord knows, we do not. But think of how this man, once this one Jesus Christ was crucified, and the words were spoken by another soldier, certainly this was a righteous man. How amazing it would be to be in the shoes of Malchus, to think this is the one that we took. This is the one that we crucified. This is the one that has the power that we all fell back at the very mention of his name. And he put my very ear back on. You think this man Malchus had to seriously consider, who is this one, Jesus Christ? Is he who he claimed to be? Well, in the deal of Peter, we can see a wonderful opportunity for this man Malchus. Well, as we also consider here in this portion, when the Lord told Peter, put up your sword. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Well, we see here that the cup of the Lord was speaking of this death, the hour, the time that would come of his crucifixion. He must drink this cup. He must partake of the cup, a cup that we could not partake of. For we have sin in us. We could not partake of this cup. But God manifest in the flesh, the very theme of the book of John, the deity of Christ, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see this one, Jesus Christ, drinking this cup that the Father had given him. The Father had sent him. The Father had given him. As we see that question the Lord proposed, "Shall I not drink it?" Surely, the appointed time of the cross was before him. Now, when we think of the cups spoken of here in the Word of God, isn't it interesting that it speaks of it in one sense as the cup of blessing? How ironic again to speak of the cup of blessing over there in 1 Corinthians 10. When we think of death, we think of something negative, but here is a victory, and it has given us our portion, a cup of blessing, that we have eternal life in a relationship with God through this death. But also, we think of the cup in a sense of, think of the communion, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup. The bread represents the body of Christ. The cup represents that blood that was shed for you and I, that perfect innocent blood. So think with me and contemplate today. If the Lord told Peter to put up his sword and said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Think of how important it is to every man and woman and child that the Lord did drink of that cup. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2. My friend, have you contemplated on the seriousness of this cup that he drank for you? This bitterness of death that he tasted for you and I? Glory be to God, he is risen on the third day and ascended back to heaven, as we see that he is the Lord of glory. The Father accepted his death as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. So as we consider these things, I'd like to turn over in closing to Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, look at the beginning of the chapter. And in Hebrews 12, look at verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The scripture says to consider him. Now, my beloved, consider the one that the scripture says for the joy that was set before him. Think of how he could look with great anticipation of redeeming mankind. To think of the cross and think of joy, that he could think of the joy of redeeming lost men and women. He could think of the joy of returning to glory. Well, we thank you for joining us again with our Bible study. And join us, we would ask, next Sunday morning at 10:15, as we're here each Sunday morning. This is Mike Moody for Jeff Buckles, for the Two Roads, Radio.